Welcome to The Brief by Kuro House, your daily dose of sharp marketing insight. Today, we're diving into a wave of stories that are shaking up the industry, from groundbreaking legal verdicts and new ad models to a surprising reality check for marketers and a peek behind the scenes of a much-anticipated sequel. Let's get started. First up, a landmark verdict out of Los Angeles is sending shockwaves through the social media world. According to Adweek, Meta and YouTube have been found liable for causing mental duress to a young woman known as Kaylee, who began using YouTube at age 6 and quickly developed a 16-hour-a-day smartphone habit. The jury awarded her $3 million in punitive damages. While that sum is a drop in the ocean for Meta and Alphabet, the parent companies, the real story is the precedent it sets. With 1,600 similar suits in California and 235 more in federal courts, backed by 32 state attorneys general, this verdict cracks open the door to a new era of accountability for social platforms. The LA trial focused specifically on addictive features like infinite scroll, while a separate New Mexico case just found Meta responsible for unconscionable behavior in platform design, ordering $375 million in damages. In court, Kaylee described how Instagram's beauty filters made her feel fat and insecure when she didn't get enough likes, driving her away from real-life friendships. Meta's leadership, including Mark Zuckerberg and Instagram's CEO Adam Mosseri, defended their policies but acknowledged that underage users slip through and that poor decisions can be bad for well-being and, ultimately, for business. Kaylee's legal team called the verdict bigger than one case, arguing that social media companies have long profited from targeting children while concealing addictive and dangerous design features. The message is clear: Section 230's shield isn't bulletproof, and the industry is now on notice. Now, let's hop across the Atlantic for a major move in digital audio advertising. Adweek reports that Amazon is teaming up with DAX, the digital audio arm of the UK's global media group, to launch a first-of-its-kind audio ad partnership in the UK. The deal, previewed to media buyers, will let brands layer Amazon's powerful first-party retail data onto Global's audio inventory, which includes radio stations and streaming properties. This is part of Amazon's broader strategy to make its demand-side platform, or ADSP, indispensable by enriching inventory with its unique retail signals. Similar partnerships have already rolled out in the US with Spotify, SiriusXM, and iHeart, but the DAX deal marks a significant expansion into Europe. For advertisers, it means better targeting and attribution, tying audio ad exposures directly to purchase behavior. For Amazon, it's another step in controlling the infrastructure of digital advertising, not just in audio but also in connected TV, where it struck deals with Roku, Disney, and Netflix. As CTV and digital audio continue to grow, Amazon's data-driven approach is quietly becoming one of the industry's most valuable assets. Back in the US, a new Ipsos study covered by Adweek delivers a sobering reality check for marketers. 2/3 of American marketers would fail a basic marketing test. The survey asked 10 simple, sub-undergraduate questions: think identifying quantitative research methods, defining penetration, and naming the 4 petaseconds. The results: over 40% didn't know what positioning means, half didn't understand penetration, and 2/3 couldn't spot a quantitative research method. Even more striking, 84% of respondents rated themselves above average, a statistical impossibility. The only factor that made a significant difference in test scores was formal training. Marketers with university courses or professional certificates were 6 times more likely to pass. Yet, a culture persists where formal training is seen as optional or even unnecessary, with anecdotes about successful untrained marketers used to dismiss the data. However, the evidence is clear: formal training correlates with greater influence, motivation, strategic ability, and job satisfaction. As AI transforms the industry, the need for foundational marketing knowledge is more urgent than ever. Turning to the agency world, principal media buying is no longer a quiet industry practice. It's now a public flashpoint, as detailed in Adweek. Traditionally, agencies acted as intermediaries, buying media on behalf of clients. But with principal buying, agencies purchase inventory themselves and resell it, often at a profit. This model, now central to agency economics, offers cost efficiencies, sometimes 10 to 15% savings over open market buying, and allows agencies to subsidize other services or invest in capabilities like AI and data infrastructure. But it brings major transparency concerns, hidden fees, undisclosed margins, and a potential conflict of interest, as agencies may prioritize inventory that benefits them rather than the client. Only 57% of marketers have governance rules in place, and trust is at risk. The shift is being driven by clients' relentless push for lower costs, but as agencies become market participants rather than pure fiduciaries, the relationship changes. Interestingly, some independent agencies are experimenting with greater transparency, disclosing margins, requiring client opt-in, and comparing buys with and without principal media. The future may not be about abandoning principal media, but about evolving toward more client control and clarity. Ultimately, the focus should shift from cost extraction to media quality and business outcomes. Finally, let's end on a lighter, yet commercially charged, note. The Devil Wears Prada 2 is set to premiere in May, and brands are already lining up to strut their stuff in the film's universe. According to Adweek, the sequel, starring Meryl Streep and Anne Hathaway, comes 20 years after the original and is forecast to pull in $55 million in its opening weekend. While high fashion brands like Chanel and Valentino will once again play a starring role, this time the movie is also attracting deals from more accessible beverage and beauty brands, such as Grey Goose and L'Oreal. The first film was famous for its $1 million wardrobe budget and seamless product placements, and the sequel looks set to expand that playbook, giving a wider range of brands the chance to bask in the spotlight of Miranda Priestly's world. For marketers, it's a reminder that pop culture moments remain a powerful stage for brand integration, if you can get your product in the right scene. That wraps up today's brief. From legal reckoning in social media to the evolution of agency models and the enduring power of pop culture, it's clear that marketing is in a constant state of reinvention. Stay curious, keep learning, and remember, the fundamentals matter just as much as the latest trend. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.